Philippians chapter 3. On this one, you're going to need to be there. Philippians chapter 3. So good to be at Madison, and especially at Madison Baptist Church. Now, I'm thankful to the Lord that we can do what we are doing. It's good to be physically safe from the virus and meet together in this way. But you know what? We're not really meeting together. And this is church, but in a way it's not church. Because the word church in the Bible means congregation. And we're not congregating yet. So I'm praying that the time will come very soon when it will be safe for us to congregate. Because there's something very wonderful about the assembly assembling and the Lord Jesus Christ being there in the midst. And it helps. A lot of people are harmed by missing church, even for a good reason. But we'll all be helped, and I'll be glad to hear that we're back together. And I'm not saying anything about this. Wouldn't it be great if it was this week? Whoa. But anyway, I can get my hopes up. You won't take that away from me, will you? Now, remember, we are gathering even by YouTube on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And I know us preachers have a tendency to overmake announcements as if you're deaf or a dummy, okay? But I will mention that. I'll also mention to you that in the lobby of Madison Baptist Church, I have a table full of revival books. Now, these revival books were in the trunk of my car. So Pastor asked me to bring them in. They are there. He tells me that if you'll call him, now you'll have to make a phone call. You'll have to call him. He will meet you. Social distancing, okay? And you'll be able to come in and get a book to read. These are fantastic books. Some of the most impacting books ever written on any subject have been written about Christian revival. There are books out there by Andrew Murray. Now, I'll tell you, when I meet somebody who has read any book by Andrew Murray, I know something about you, because it permanently changes you. Andrew Murray, then the great book, Victory in Christ by Trumbull, about how a Christian can overcome any weakness, really, and have victory over their sins. And I wrote a book years ago, a little short book. Don't you like short books? Okay, called Back to Normal, and my wife and I began learning from the Bible about real Christianity, which is revival, and we also were impacted by the experience of revival in our lives and in different situations. And so by that, we got to write this book that people say helps people. $6 is what we asked for that. And many other books. We got a big bunch out there. So call the preacher about coming over and picking up a book. And if you want, my cards are out there. You know, evangelists have cards, and you'll get to see what my wife looks like on this card. And so do that. So come and be with us. Now, we read the first 11 verses of Philippians 3. Now, if you would look at verse 3, you'll see the theme of the chapter and the theme of the night. Okay, ready? For we are the circumcision, with verse 3, we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, which verse 1 says to rejoice in the Lord, and have no confidence in the flesh. Then if you look at verse 4, again it talks about confidence in the flesh, but it's talking about no confidence in the flesh. Now, before I'm done, actually, it's such a simple sermon. I'm going to speak of something that has to do with having no confidence in the flesh in a startling and memorable way that will call for a decision. Now, where was it in your house that people moved to make their decision? Remember, I asked you to have a place where you can move? Okay, now I'm going to throw something else in there. I think tonight, this is such a definable decision that you can make. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand when you make it. Now, wait, I won't see your hand. Did you already know that? I can't see that way through the camera. But I'll tell you, it'll help you, and I think it'd be good if your family saw you raise your hand. I'm not saying everybody should raise their hand. This is not going to be vague. This is going to be definable about having no confidence in the flesh in a way that will actually transform us. And I know if we understand it and apply it, it will bring revival to our life and to the saints of God in Madison. Whoa! What an amazing thing. And if the saints of God are revived, those who do not know Jesus Christ will be impacted. Lord, we're asking you to do that very thing. These are things that are bigger than us. But Lord, we don't have confidence in our flesh, but we rejoice in you. And ask you to hear this prayer and do something miraculous. Help us to see our weakness as an opportunity to trust in your strength. And Lord, have the opportunity of working through our lives to glorify your own name and to draw men and women to Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, what's going on? The book of Philippians, I think I'm going to mention it tomorrow night also, was written from prison. And the man who had led them all to Christ, the great evangelist, the Apostle Paul, was writing them from prison with real concern for the congregation at Philippi, which is in Macedonia. That's northern Greece. Now he's coming to one of the serious problems. That's in chapter 3. And that's about certain people who were Christians, but were teaching the oddest thing you ever heard. And that's this. You can't become a Christian unless you become a Jew. Their doctrine was that the Messiah is a Jewish Messiah. He is not for Gentiles. Non-Jews need not apply. But a Gentile can be saved if he'll become a Jew first through the rite of circumcision. Now, Paul the Apostle, he opposed that form of legalism in the early days and taught the gospel correctly by grace through faith. And the bottom line is, we Christians have no confidence in the flesh. Now, I'm going to get to explain that in just a moment. Now, the flesh is speaking about our humanity, our human nature, our human ability. Think with me about this. Nowadays, humanity and human ability is exalted almost beyond belief. If you listen to people carefully, they're always going to credit humanity and your own humanity.
Yep.
What's inside you?
Right.
See, I heard a book the other day that contains or is about the testimony of a man who was transformed by Jesus Christ. And I'm going to buy the book. But the advertisement on the radio said it proves that faith can do anything. And I said, I wish they had said God can do anything.
Right.
Yep. Or Jesus Christ can do anything, but faith, which gives you a little credit. See? Faith. And what is in the human spirit? That's absolutely cannot be overdone. See, that's what we're told. But Christians have no confidence in the flesh. And going through a tough time can really jar your confidence in the flesh. What are you talking about? Confidence to defeat the virus. Now, maybe you have a lot of confidence in the smart people in Washington. Doctors, politicians, smart people. Do you know why we know they're smart? Because they've told us so. But I'll tell you, if you listen carefully, with all the conflicting definitions about the virus, you don't have a lot of confidence. And it kind of is a little bit scary. You know what? You and I like to have some confidence in humanity. We like to have it because, like, for example, you get a new job. We've got a couple of young men in our small little group here, less than 10. And a guy gets his first job. And he's there and he looks good, but he's a little bit lacking in confidence. And in his back of his mind, he's thinking, I hope I'm doing good. Man, I don't want to get fired. I need this job. I hope I'm doing good. I'm going to try really hard about this. But then you know what? After a while, you get used to what you're expected to do, and you're thinking, I've got it. I've got it. Man, I can handle this. Man, I might be one of the best men they've ever had on this job. See, I'm not talking about pride here. I'm talking about self-confidence, and to tell you the truth, it feels good. It feels good. And yet, you know what? Our world comes collapsing when somehow our confidence is undermined like it is now, where we expected everything was going to be going along just like normal. Now look what's happening. We don't know what's going to happen. See, we don't have as much confidence about our ability to provide for our family. People who had jobs don't. I don't know about Wisconsin. I live in the state of Michigan. But huge numbers of people with jobs and incomes don't have it anymore. And the government says that's okay. We'll give you unemployment. Did you know the government passing out checks isn't a very good way of paying the bills? Because, believe it or not, the government runs out of money, especially the state government. Did you know the state government does not have the power to spend into the deficit? The federal government does. If you didn't know that, take a look at our national debt. You want to stay awake at night. See, and now all of a sudden, man, oh man, maybe there won't be food money. Maybe we won't be able to make the mortgage payment. See, it is really quite jarring to our confidence in the flesh right now to get along without God. There are people who have been getting along just fine where God is the theory. And you don't even have to decide about whether there's a God or not. It's because it's all theoretical anyway. And you know, getting along without God has been fine until now. Now you would like to know that there is a loving deity with all power who hears prayer because you need your prayers answered. But you know what? Maybe you can't handle it. Maybe we can't. And that's one reason why difficult times like this are good for us. Because they work against our confidence in the flesh. So we can have our faith in God. And you know what? Some people, some Christian people, think that they have the ability to fight God. You know, the biggest joke of the universe is a little man on planet Earth shaking his fist in the face of God. But some people do that. See, and now all of a sudden we're not sure we should be doing that. And all of that is actually good for us because it's good for us to get to the place where we do not have any confidence in humanity, human nature, or in our own ability. No, and you know what? Christians have no confidence in the flesh. You might go, I don't get this. Sounds like kind of a interesting. I'm going to tell you, this is a down-to-earth sermon. We're going to get right to the point. I've got to make 2 points. You ready? Number one, you must give up any confidence in the flesh to become a Christian. You can't even be a Christian until you give up every confidence in the flesh. Now look down at verses 1-3 and see he's talking about the concision. The concision, verse 2. You know what that was? This group of people who thought that they had something to do with their salvation. By the keeping of the law of Moses, by the ritual of circumcision, I will do this and earn my way to heaven. Now, Jesus has something to do with it because I'm a Christian, but I have something to do with it too. And my good works and my religion is going to be part of it, and especially the concision that says you have to become a Jew to become a Christian. See, it was a false gospel. The reason it was a false gospel is because they taught confidence in the flesh. Now, Paul says, I became a Christian when I gave up my confidence in the flesh. Look what he says in verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh. He says, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more Okay, watch. Here are my credentials. Circumcised the eighth day. I was circumcised. I'm a proper Jew. Of the stock of Israel. He's talking about the flesh. He's talking about his body. He's talking about his animal type. You know, I'm of the stock of Israel, God's chosen people of the tribe of Benjamin by humanity, and Hebrew of the Hebrews as touching the law, a Pharisee. Now, they had denominations among the Jews, like we have denominations among the Christians. And the strictest of the Jewish denomination was the Pharisees. Now, which one would you think is the strictest Christian denomination? Some of you think it's Baptist. It has varied over the years. There was a time when a lot of people thought that Baptists were pretty liberal. But I tell you, it doesn't matter. He says, man, do I qualify. I have all these qualifications to go to heaven based on my flesh. I'm of the stock of Israel. I am of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Hebrew. I'm a Pharisee. And I'm a zealous Pharisee, which I prove by persecuting Christianity. I'm a persecutor. And then he says, my righteousness is the righteousness of a law keeper. I keep all the rules. My record, my character says he is upright. He is a proper man. He keeps the law, so I claim. But you know what? As long as I trusted in who I was and what I do, I wasn't a Christian. Had no peace, wasn't saved. So what did I have to do? Look at verse 7. And what things were gained to me? All of these were pluses. Those I counted loss for Christ. I had to count all those things I just listed as minus that I thought were plus. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. I couldn't know the Lord Jesus as long as I had confidence in the flesh, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them, now get this, but dung. Now, I have always thought the word dung means manure, which is probably not a proper thing to talk about in church. Cow manure. But that's not what it means. The Bible word dung means refuse, garbage, trash. And I thought that being a Jew, being a proper Pharisee, all my pluses were actually minuses. And you know what I did? I counted them but refuse. Trash, that I may win Christ. Can't have Christ and have them. Stay with me, I'll explain it. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now, did you know that we're saved by faith? But you know what? If you're going to put your faith in Christ, you have to take away any faith in yourself. See, and the very things that you think are going to get you into heaven are the things that are going to keep you out of heaven. Unless you take out the trash. Before I got saved, you know what I had to do? I had to take out the trash. Verses 7, 8, and 9. Yeah, and you did too. You can't have Christ and confidence in the flesh too. You can't go to heaven by faith and by your good works also. It's got to be Christ alone, so you got to take out the trash. You got to actually, I don't know if you actually said it, but you pretty well have to say, Lord, it's not baptism. It's not being a Baptist. It's not my Christian family. It's not the fact that I've never been immoral. It's not my character. No, none of those things. It's only Jesus Christ that's going to get me to heaven. That's saving faith. So you can't have it until you take out the trash. Did you know that? See, if you think your church has something to do with getting you into heaven, you're not a Christian. See, you got to take out the crash. If that's what you're trusting in, you have to decide, I can't trust in that anymore. See, matter of fact, what was plus, I count as minus, loss. Like, if you thought that being baptized as a baby, I was christened at the Centenary Methodist Church, Richmond, Virginia, when I was 3 months old. That was a pretty big event, but I don't even remember it. Okay, if I was counting on my christening to have a part in getting into heaven, do you know what I need to do? I need to say, baptism won't get me to heaven. See, if I don't, then that plus is going to be a minus. And matter of fact, my baptism might get me into hell. Because unless you're trusting in Christ alone for your salvation, you're not saved. Are you getting this? See, my baptism, my church, my good record. See, my parents used to say I was a good boy. They said, you're a good boy. My mother, this is Mother's Day. That's one thing I really liked about her. She would say, you're a good boy. But I remember the time, I'm going to be very open about this, when I was a young teenager, and I told my dad a lie. There was something that was done, and I was involved in it. And he said, did you have anything to do with that? And I said, no, Dad. And every time after that, that my dad would say to me, you know what, son? We trust you because you always tell us the truth. It was like a knife, because I knew I had. And you know what? Your so-called good work record isn't really that good. And the only one knows who knows you and what you really done is God. And you know what? Your good works, the Bible says, will not get you to heaven, even if you had a lot of them. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And Jesus won't save you if you're your own savior. You got to take out the trash. You got to say, it's not my record. It's not my character. No, matter of fact, if I think it is, then what I think is a plus is actually a minus. Like the story, the parable of the Pharisee and the publican down there at the temple. The Pharisee started listing off all his good deeds. I fast twice in the week. I tithe. He must have been a Baptist. I do all these good things, and I'm not bad like that publican over there. Remember that story? But the publican just said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And he went home saved, justified. Why? Because he took out the trash. Anything he might have claimed as a credit, he said, no, none of those things merit salvation. I need mercy. Amen. Mercy. See, got to take out the trash. You are not even a Christian until you give up confidence in the flesh. You're not. If you read later, we're going to read a little more. Verse 13. If you read verse 13, you'll find when he says that I am forgetting those things which are behind, he's not talking about bad things. I've heard people quote that verse as if it meant, I'm going to forget all the sins I've done. God forgave me, so I'm going to forget it. Paul isn't talking about the bad things. He's talking about the good things. All the things that I would get as credits, I just forget them. Count them as loss. You know what? I give up confidence in them. You know what I've done? Of taking out the trash so that I can win Christ and not have my own righteousness, but have the righteousness which is by faith in him. You can't have both. If you say, I'm a good boy, I'm a Methodist or a Baptist or a Catholic, and the sacraments are going to get me to heaven, well, you can't have Christ. He isn't your savior. The blood will do nothing to get you into heaven. As long as you have something else getting you into heaven. So, to be saved, one of the things you have to do is you have to take out the trash. Now, I'm going to kind of move into something else here. Did you know it's not just about salvation? It's about succeeding at being a Christian after you're saved. Living the Christian life. How do you do that? No confidence in the flesh. It says, that I might be found in him, not having my own righteousness. Now that's imputed righteousness, which justifies us and gets us into heaven. But I think, Pastor, it's also talking about imparted righteousness, the righteous life. If you see me living a Christian life, friends, it's not a Christian life as long as I'm the one doing it. It's got to be Jesus Christ living in me. And you know what? It won't happen until I take out the trash. So point two, ready this? You can't be a good Christian and have any confidence in your flesh. Can't be a good Christian. Verses 8, 9, 10, 11 speaks that I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now that's talking about salvation, because those who are saved will be raised from the dead on the last day. But the indication is it's also talking about now. You know, if I am ever to get anywhere close to living like the holy being I will be when I'm raised from the dead, it's going to be by not having any confidence in the flesh. Matter of fact, if you're looking at me, the ones who are in here, a little doubtful. So let me go back to verse 8 and let me show you that. It goes, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, trash, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith, the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, he's talking about not just knowing him in salvation, but knowing him in fellowship and the resurrection. Now, let me keep reading. You'll see this. Hey, watch. Keep going here. Not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect. Now, watch for that word perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now, let's talk about what we just saw. God apprehended me through Christ. The goal is I will be holy like him. That'll happen at the second coming. When I see him, I'll be like him. But now, you know what I do now? I follow after that I might apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. So what's my goal? Now that I'm saved, my goal is to be well thought of at Madison Baptist Church. Oh, my goal is not to be disciplined from the church. My goal is to become a famous Christian. History books. No, my goal is to be what I'm going to be. Are you kidding? You know, we're so used to using the word perfect in this way. When I go to church, if anybody ever says the word perfect, they say, nobody's perfect. Now, I'm going to show you in a minute. The Bible often says certain people are perfect. Even though now he said, I'm not already perfect in the sense of sinlessly perfect, but I follow after. See, I know what I'm going to be. Well, you can't be that way until the rapture. Yeah, but I'm going to try. I follow after. Watch this. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, one day with a glorified body, I'll be a holy being, able to self-serve God without any weakness or sin. Boy, I wish it was now. I am going to press for it. I'm going to wake up in the morning and say, I'd sure like to be perfect on this day. Verse 15, let us therefore as many as, be perfect. Be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me. Mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you weeping, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Now watch. He says, Christians live two ways. Some live the right way, seeking to be like Jesus Christ. Now, and there are many things in the Bible about the power of God to help us live a holy life. But now, the main thing is you've got to want it. So I stretch, I follow. And now, if I stop doing that, if I say, you know what, I'll never be perfect anyway, so I'm not even going to want to be. Okay, then God's going to tell you, you got off track. See where he said that? And he says, if you're on track, that is seeking to be holy, then he says you are perfect. See, not sinlessly perfect, but you are just like God wants you to be. Yep. Like in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, be perfect like your Father is in heaven. Father in heaven is perfect. Now, what on earth is that talking about? He says, all the way. I know Christian people who mainly want to know that they're going to get to heaven. And they don't care about rewards, and they don't care about doing a thing for Jesus Christ. See, but you know, Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount taught a lot of things, like turn the other cheek, go the extra mile, love your enemy. Whoa, okay. Now, then he said, be perfect, which means be complete, meaning this. Don't decide I'm going to take a piece of it and leave the rest of it. Say, I want it all. I want to be Christ-like. See, I want to turn the other cheek. I want to go the extra mile. I want to forgive. I want to love my neighbor as myself. I don't find in myself the capability to do those things, but I want to love my enemy. I want to be the Sermon on the Mount. And that's perfect in the sense of complete everything God wants us to be. Most of us aren't because we don't care to be, friends. We are minimalist Christians. What's the least I can do to get by? And you know what? It's a shame. Yes. It's a shame. But those who are perfect, even though they're not perfect, are those who are striving to be perfect. Yes. Isn't that amazing? Now, how can we attain and live that kind of life? Take out the trash. Bible says, husbands, love your wives. I love her. I've loved her ever since we were kids. I buy her flowers on Valentine's Day. I apologize to her sometimes. And I love her. But that's not what he said. He says, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. How about that? Did you know what God requires of us is far above our human ability to achieve? In so many ways. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, I think I love you. I've been around you a few times. We have good neighbors. I love the neighbors. But I want to be honest with you. I want to confess to you that if when I walked in, and you are one of the few people here, if I said, how are you? And you say, well, I've got a toothache. Okay, I would feel sorry for you because I care for you. But I'll tell you what, I wouldn't feel as sorry for you having a toothache as I would feel for me if I had the toothache. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself is a goal not achievable by fallen man. You know how it's achieved? By faith. By faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, you said this, but I can't do it. As a matter of fact, today we are taught to abide in him by saying, without me, without Jesus, I can do nothing. The Christian life is lived by faith in Jesus Christ, just like Christianity is received by faith in Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, we're in Philippians, almost done. Look at chapter 4. Everybody look at chapter 4 and verse 13. There at the house, why don't you read it out loud? It's pretty easy to read. And I'm going to have the people, the few people who are with me now, read it out loud too. Philippians 4:13 says this. Ready? I
can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me.
Now, here's what he says. Anything God wants me to do, I can do.
That's right.
But it's not going to be me. By determination, character, gritting my teeth, trying harder this time. No, it's going to be trusting Christ, because he said, without me, you can do. You see, but with me, with Jesus, I can do all things. Now, you're not going to trust Jesus for the power to live the Christian life till you take out the trash. I'm talking about every day. Now, my parents expected me to take out the trash every day when I was a kid. But I'm talking about spiritual and personal. Take out the trash. I need to remind myself and God that I don't have what it takes. Like what? Like success in the past. See, I walk into Madison Baptist Church very aware of what a good Christian I've been for how long and what people think of me. Wow. So here I come. I'm not just anybody. And I think that my past success is going to make it so I will continue to succeed. Did you know, if you think you stand, you should take heed lest you fall. And there's some people with a pretty good record who fall flat on their face, and that could be you. And the first step toward falling is confidence in the flesh. Now, your background. Don't you know my last name? Our family are founding members of the church. And I was born a founding member of the church. Don't you remember that? I'm going to tell you something. We are all flesh and fail. And you know how you live the Christian life? No confidence in the flesh. Got to take out the trash and say my background isn't going to cause me to succeed in the Christian life. My character. Now, I believe in training character, but you can do that even if you're not saved. Now, various programs and schools train people to live outwardly upright by training their character. And I'm in favor of that. But that's not the same as Christianity.
Right.
Christianity is deliverance. Deliverance from my flesh. Put off the old man, put on the new man. It's not character. And friends, you may have fallen into the snare of living the Christian life depending on your character if you haven't taken out the trash. You need to say it. I may be a preacher, but I'll tell you what, without you, I can do nothing. See, my preacher flesh isn't going to make me succeed, isn't going to get me rewards. You need to take out the trash. Determination. Some people think they're going to be better Christians because they're determined to be a better Christian. Now, I'll be honest with you. I admire people who are determined to be a good Christian, to win people to Christ. I certainly think better of you than people who could care less. But determination isn't going to make it. If you decide, I'm going to be a soul winner, I'm going to be a very, very good person, I'll tell you what, determination alone is not going to do it. Have no confidence in the flesh, because that becomes pride. And do you remember the Christian life is? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Not I, but Christ. Not I. Not I. No confidence in the flesh. No, I want to serve Jesus Christ and keep his commandments all the way to the end of my life. But I have no promise that I will unless I trust in him. No confidence of the flesh. Read it right to the end of the chapter and you will see that victory, revival in my life. You know where that comes from? That comes from I can do all things. I can do anything. But it's only through Jesus Christ. And you won't get there until you take out the trash. Now, hear me out just a little bit more. You know what you need to do? You need to get sick and tired of yourself.
Yeah.
I did more than once. I could tell you stories, but I remember I was at a conference outside of Chicago as a young preacher, and I brought a group of men with me to hear what was going to be said. And one night, the preacher preached on being filled with the Spirit and being anointed with fresh oil. Okay, and I walked out of there, and I thought, man, I am not worth shooting. My people don't have a Spirit-filled pastor. I go to the pulpit having prepared my sermon, but not prepared my heart on my knees. I don't know what it is to be fully surrendered. I was sick and tired of myself. So that night, the men, we stayed in a church member's house, but they all took their rest in their bed. But actually, they stayed up for a while to have some pop or something. And I said, men, would you excuse me? I'm going to take a walk. Now, tell you the truth, the neighborhood was not a good place to take a walk. But I stepped out of there, and I took this walk, and I was walking down the street telling God what a lousy Christian I was, let alone preacher. And I told him what I was not. And I told him about the sins of my life. And I told him, I'm sick and tired of myself. Now, it's interesting to study this in the Bible. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the writer says, I hated life. That's not what this is about. God doesn't want you to hate your life. That comes from living a life where you're getting satisfied by what you do. And what it does is brings you to the bottom. I hated life. Then the Lord Jesus Christ, we will find in the book of Luke, chapter 14, says that to be a disciple of his, you need to hate your own life. That means not love your life. Where in other words, love Jesus Christ so far more than you love yourself that your love for yourself looks like hate. That's not what I'm talking about. And I'm not talking about hating your life, but I'm talking about getting sick and tired of yourself. Where you say, I call myself a Christian. I call myself a godly husband. I called myself a soul winner. I call myself a preacher. I call myself a Sunday school teacher. I say I walk with God. You know what? Most of the time I'm a hypocrite. I was walking up and down the streets telling God I was sick and tired of myself. Finally, I got it to the end of that confession and yielded to him and said, I surrender to you. And what I am is yours. And if you'll use me, I'll appreciate it. That next Sunday, I will never forget as long as I live. I will never forget where God put his hand on me as a preacher. I can tell you what I preached on. And I can tell you the three adults who showed up out of nowhere and then came forward. One was a backslider, got right with God. I tell you, it was all miraculous. But did I come out of there proud? No, I knew it wasn't me. You know why? I walked up and down the streets of Calumet City, Illinois, and I took out the trash, told God I can't, but you can. And friends, that's what you need to do. Take out the trash and start relying on Jesus. That's about salvation first, but also about victory in the Christian life. Victory over the devil, victory over your sins, victory so that you can be used of God starts with, of all things, taking out the trash. Paul had to say his whole life, it's not my Israelitishness. It's not my Phariseeism. It's not my circumcision. It's not me at all. It's you in me. And you know, I can't, but you can. I'll tell you what, that's a transforming time. And I'll tell you what it'll do for you. It'll give you a revival. And some people listening to this sermon tonight need to take out the trash. If you can understand what I'm saying, if you're old enough to get it, then God can be speaking to you, and I would suggest you take out the trash. Now look at me. If you know that you've had too much confidence in yourself, And you're willing right now to say, I need to take out the trash and tell God nothing about me is going to make anything of eternal value happen. I can't, but you can. Well, then raise your hand right in front of everybody there in your room. Okay. And then with our taking our hands down, in just a moment, why don't you bow your head or go to that place in the room where you went before and have a talk with Jesus about what's going to happen now. And you know what? God can help you do what you can't do if you admit you can't do it. God can help you do what you cannot do, but it'll be a miracle. It'll be Him. Let's bow our heads right now. Now would be a good time to find that place to pray. Oh, Lord, we can't. But you never intended us to do it. You never intended us to save our own souls. You had to do that. And you never intended us to live a holy life without you living through us. Now, Lord, we may not and do not understand all the details of that, but we understand what it is to take out the trash. Lord, it's not our character. It's not our family. It's not our determination. It's got to be you. Deliver us from ourselves, O Lord, and make us what we ought to be. Help us to overcome our besetting sin, and help us to be something for you that we naturally are not. May we learn how to live day by day with no confidence in the flesh, so that we might rejoice in the Lord. And that's our prayer. We sincerely and from our heart pray it. Amen. Let's keep our heads bowed just a moment. Folks are praying all over the room, and someone is going to play a little bit on the piano. Take out the trash and start relying on Jesus. Fill me now, O Lord. Now I'm ready to be filled, because it's not going to be me. It can be you. It can be me being the husband of my wife and the head of my family. It can be me being a witness for Jesus Christ. It can be you, that is, because it's not going to be me. It can be you, Lord, like it should have been all the time. I now admit that it can't be me. She'll play one more stanza. Thank you.